Okay, here's one for you. Have you ever recorded a podcast? It feels like you're talking live to a live audience in real time, when really you're recording something, and you have listeners that are sort of listening to what you're saying, and you can sense them processing what you're saying, and you can sense their response to what you're saying, whether they like what you're saying or don't like what you're saying, understand what you're saying, or are critiquing your speech. It's so irritating. I do that personally myself, just my own neurons running around going, what you said there wasn't right. You're sort of sputtering. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? Are you sure you're ready to talk about that yet? You don't sound very organized. Are you sure you're qualified to talk about that subject? You know, you have listeners that are judging everything about your speech, your ums, your ands, your sort ofs, and your rhythms and your biorhythms and the content of your information and relevancy to what you said you were going to talk about or what this post was about. It's like speech awareness, I guess. Speech pathology and content. Whether it's your own internal mind, but yet as you're speaking, you have these visions. I have these visions of the listeners. And I upload a photograph to my internet site to depict, or just to give a graphic image related to the subject, like a research topic or something technology related, just to give a visual stimuli was a scientific word, visual stimulation. And they become live, like they're real people, and you see them with their hands behind their head, and they're sitting back, kicking back, looking at it, going, yeah, that looks good, that sounds good, yeah, that sounds about right, or hey, be nice, you're being critical. Or somehow their presence causes that sense of nervousness. Like, oh my God, public speaking. Holy crap. Am I saying what I'm saying? Is it real? Do I sound okay? Does it make sense? Is this old news? Is it going to be worthwhile? Am I going down in the history books, or am I going to prison because I uncovered something that, or told on somebody that I shouldn't have? You know, I said something I shouldn't have. I have a tendency of doing that. I'm not as bad as Howard Stern, but when I record, I'm not afraid to talk about what I'm going to talk about. As I get older, I become a little more opinionated, and my expectations increase. And when I do look back 20 years, which I often do, because if you worked in technology for 20 years or 15 years, I mean, I've worked with it since I was a kid, right? Like the Speak and Spell. That was my first introduction to technology. Like, type in this word. Ooh, it has a voice controller and it repeats it back. That's technology. Hit this button on the remote control, and that little sensor, that little red laser light is going to send that signal. And you know that. You learn that stuff when you're a kid. And then when you get into the field of technology, you see how the stuff works. And then when you start working with engineers on this, you listen real closely. And then you decide, yeah, I'm going to take a break from this. I'm not liking where this is heading. I'm going to go back to school. And you see this information in the textbooks, and you see what's really out there, and you use your own mind, and your own experience, and your own opinions to come up with, rather than being the yes ma'am, yes sir, I'll do what you tell me, exactly what you tell me, I'll write what you say, and I'll submit this as your report, and we're finished. And But as you get older and you get into this stuff and you become more experienced, you have your own mind to evaluate and you go, this is wrong. It's wrong to charge every county $1 million to implement a software system in the way that you're doing it. But this is my job. I have to do it. And this is the way the company works. And this is where I work. So I'm kind of stuck. But, and then I quit, right? Like, I'm not going to do this anymore. The software is great, but the implementation plan and approach is just wrong, completely wrong. But, you know, they're still in business. Or they sold to somebody else. Who knows how they implement now, because I don't work there. I'm not on the receiving end of the system as an evaluator or a purchaser of the product or a project manager on the managing end that says, okay, yeah, I see how that works. Go ahead and take care of that. But as an evaluator of software systems and technology in what we call enterprise resource systems, and looking at an overall national or global technology budget, I'm in shock. I'm sort of upset because easily 20 years ago, when I was working in that position, I could have told you the same thing. You need to go and do analysis across the board, and you need to spend some time researching system requirements for 52 states. Put something together that's standardized and show me the variations so that a true technology firm, company, or advisor in a government position or in a commercial position can make sound decisions that protect IT, its data, infrastructure, and budget. So I sound so knowledgeable now. Well, that's from 35 years of working with technology and being actually in it and seeing it on the back end and the front end and seeing what was actually being done. And being that person that says, oh, okay, I'll do this exactly how you say. And I'll watch you try to give away the whole product for $1 million to one county with every system as one person with an assistant to help you implement, which is outlandish, unrealistic, not possible. And then I'll watch you waste 9 months on the smallest county in the United States and charge $250,000 and head off on a path that you think you're going to sell this product to every county in the United States, and I just sit back and laugh at you. Because while that's a nice idea, and technology is so profitable and advanced, it's internal, what do you call it? Some like to use the word treason, but I call it, it's like charging your grandma $800,000 for you to take her to lunch. I mean, if you're going to develop government software or software that manages United States resources and buildings, residential and commercial properties, that's a government task. And for a commercial company to come in and say, I have this software and I own this software and I'm going to sell it to you for $1 million per county, that's like I said, take your grandma to lunch for $800,000 and send her the bill. That's just so wrong. That's like backwards. It's profiting off the U.S. government, which if they make the money and have the money to do it, it makes sense. But there's so many other things that our money should be spent on, like cleaning up the streets, for God's sakes. Homeless people. Like, clean up the project areas, right? And give me something a little more realistic on a national level that says the software is great for 52 different states. It has standardized code, regulations, It's supportable with a standardized help desk system. It's easy to use, understand. We have a process for implementation across the 52 states. We have a plan to get everyone on the same system. And here's what it's going to do for the United States. Not here's what it's going to do for this little town and county in Oregon or Seattle, right? Or, you know, if it's a prototype and it's a first pass to test it, then tell me. I mean, that would have made a hell of a lot more sense than to send me in as a project manager, pregnant, of course, pregnant, and let me go implement something and put this on my resume and look like an idiot because I might boast about the price of the or the size of the project. You know, that's just setting IT people up for disaster. It's also setting United States up for disaster. So that's all.